Sci-Fi Melody Supplemental Avengers Endgame Reaction. So we're doing something a little bit different with this episode here. Because of a busy schedule in the month of May for myself, Mark, and Thomas, each one of us is going to be out of town on vacation at some point during May. So after I release the already recorded Captain Marvel review this weekend, it might be near the end of May before all of us can get together and actually review and talk about Avengers Endgame. And I didn't want to wait until the end of May to put something out for the podcast about the biggest movie release of the year. So I wanted to get here and do a live stream of consciousness reaction to Avengers Endgame and get something out there. First and foremost, let me say the movie was awesome. It was fun. It was a 3-hour movie that never felt like a 3-hour movie. I was never sitting there going, is this thing going to end anytime soon? Wanting to look at my phone to see what time it was. Sometimes even in a good movie, there are points in a movie where it drags. I thought that, spoilers, there's going to be a lot of spoilers here. I thought Fat Thor was hilarious. Watching Thor go to pieces and just drink beer and get overweight and Thor with a beer belly was a great angle for them to take. Professor Hulk was fun. He found a balance between, you know, being Bruce Banner and being the Hulk. And I thought it gave Black Widow a chance to show that she could step up into a leadership role with leading the Avengers 5 years after that was done. But I think where this movie hits home and where this movie does a fantastic job is it really does tie up the storylines that needed tied up. You had actors leaving who wanted out of their contract. And you knew that was going to happen. So you had to find a way. You pretty much knew that this was going to be the last film for Captain America and for Iron Man. And what you got in Tony Stark's death is one of the most heroic deaths that you're ever going to see on film. And it's exactly what that character deserved. And you got the same thing. You got a great ending for Captain America, too. He was able to go back and to live the life that he lost. And I think the dichotomy of that ending was something that was absolutely brilliantly done in the film that you can really look into and see what they did with these two main characters. If you watch through the entire arc of the movies in the first three phases, Captain America was always about being selfless. He did whatever others needed. He did whatever his country needed. He did whatever the situation needed. He was the selfless, give-of-himself leader. He was the heart and soul of the Avengers. Tony Stark was the self-described billionaire, playboy, genius, philanthropist who was all about himself. And there's a moment in there when he's talking to his father, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but something like, what was best for everyone never outweighed my own motivated self-interest. And that's Tony Stark's life. Throughout all of these Avengers films, throughout all of the MCU films in the first three phases, Tony Stark acts in the motivated self-interest of Tony Stark. And in this moment, in this film, he acts in the interest of the rest of humanity rather than in the interest of Tony Stark. First and foremost, he's one of the people that Thanos helped. Thanos said when he snapped his fingers and got rid of half of the population of the galaxy, that for those who remained, many would find it better. Tony Stark's living his best life. He's happily married. He's raising his daughter. Tony Stark, he stepped back from the superhero game. Tony Stark is living a great life post-snap. He has the most to lose out of any of the Avengers. The rest of the Avengers, they've got stuff to go get back. They've got stuff to undo. Tony Stark is okay. Tony Stark is living well, and he stands to lose if they do this and they go back in time and they undo the snap. How do they know that he's not going to lose his daughter when they undo that? That's what he's going to hope that Hulk can do when Bruce Banner snaps his fingers to undo what Thanos did. But you see Tony Stark throughout this whole movie, including his heroic sacrifice at the end when he says, "I am Iron Man," snaps his fingers, undoes everything. It costs him his life in a moment when he's probably happiest in his life and most at peace. Captain America has always been the guy who did what everybody else needed. Never did what he needed. Always did what everybody else needed. And this time, when he goes back in time to put the stones back, he does something for him. He decides to stay in the past, live in the past, and do what makes him happy. He takes a selfish action for maybe the first time in his life. And he finds happiness. And he lives a wonderful life. And this is an amazing ending to the story for both of these guys. You get the best possible ending for both. Not to mention, it was really awesome to see him be able to swing Thor's hammer. You knew that was coming. He can call the hammer to him. He can use the hammer. That was fantastic. Everybody knew that was coming. You can call that fan service if you want to, but it was a payoff to everybody who was waiting for that moment to happen with Captain America. The Avengers Assemble theme. If you didn't get chills running through you at that point, you haven't been invested in this franchise. It looks like all is lost. The shield's broken. Thor's been tossed aside. Iron Man's got his ass kicked. Cap picks himself off the ground, and he's going to face Thanos and his army by himself if he has to. And at that exact moment, you get Sam on your left. Cap on your left. And Doctor Strange is bringing everyone through. He's bringing every single resource Earth has left to fight Thanos' army. And then you get the Avengers Assemble moment. And they start battling it out. And that epic climactic battle at the end is something that's just beyond. It's almost beyond an ability to process. I mean, it was awesome. It was overwhelming, immersive. To say it was immersive is an understatement. This film was so well done. But it ties up the storylines. And that's where this, it really, they had written themselves, I think, into a corner after Infinity Wars. I had said after Infinity Wars, you've overpowered Thanos to the point that, how do you defeat him? How do you undo this? How do you get the stones back from him? So it was a bold move in the basically the prologue to have them jump to where Thanos made his getaway to, cut his arm off to get the gauntlet back, and have Thor kill him in the first 15 minutes of the movie. That was a bold move, and you find out he's destroyed the stones. So now, then you bring in Ant-Man, and you bring in the Time Machine, and now you've set up a way to go back and undo this. But since you control the Stone of Time, and you control all the stones, you can undo it in a way that doesn't alter the timeline and create a skewed-off Back to the Future 1985 from Biff 1955 version. And then they had to be careful because when you go back into your own past and your own movies, you have to be very careful with how you present it. And ultimately, they did a fantastic job with it. Is it a little tropish? Yes. You created a villain who won. And you created a villain that was so powerful that to defeat him, you had to take him by surprise after he had weakened himself, destroying the Infinity Stones. You got that out of the way. I mean, I've always thought Thanos, how strong is Thanos? How weak is Thanos? He's as strong or as weak as the plot needs him to be. In the prologue, the plot needed him to be very, very weak. Throughout the rest of this movie, even without the Infinity Stones, he's stronger than three of the strongest Avengers combined. Probably the three strongest Avengers combined. I guess you got Hulk, but he's going to take out, of all the superheroes, he's going to take out three of the strongest on his own. He wins a stand-up fight for the gauntlet with Captain Marvel, who's supposed to be stronger than any of them. So even without the Infinity Stones, when he's as strong as you need him to be, he's as weak as you need him to be. But they did a good job navigating the problem that they wrote themselves into at the end of Infinity War and solving it without wrecking your ability to believe what was going on. And it kept you involved and it kept you on the edge of the seat. There were no pacing problems with this film either. And that's tough. You had it divided into multiple different teams, multiple different subplots going on, and it was balanced masterfully and it all tied together well. Kudos to the writing crew. Kudos to Kevin Feige. You pulled this one off, and you found a way to make Avengers Endgame still be about the people that it should have been about without letting the characters that came in late steal the show. And I say that because when you've invested as much time as people have into the Marvel Universe, you want the final movie to be about the guys that you've been invested in the entire time. Sure, guys like Stephen Strange, who came in late, can play parts, but you don't want the whole movie to be stolen by a character who arrived in the last few minutes, you know, the figurative minutes of this saga that we've been watching for years. The other thing that this did well was it cleared the field. And this is where Marvel's taking a risk, and this is where there might be a problem at the end to Endgame for the Marvel Cinematic Universe in the future, which was unavoidable. A lot of what worked with the Marvel Cinematic Universe was you had relatable characters that were well-known that the general audience wanted to see stories about. At its core, a good movie is good because you have characters that people like. Iron Man 3 was a bad movie overall, but I watched Iron Man 3, and Iron Man 3 works somewhat-ish because Tony Stark is likable. Iron Man 2 is a pretty average movie, but Tony Stark carries that movie. Any Captain America movie works because Captain America is an interesting character. You had characters that everyone could relate to, even if you weren't a comic book junkie. You know Thor, you know Hulk, you know Captain America, you know Iron Man. These guys are pretty much gone. Tony's dead. Cap is old. He's passed it off to Sam. Thor is going off with the Guardians of the Galaxy, and he's pretty much going to be relegated to being part of the one Guardians of the Galaxy movie that's slated for the next phase. They could bring him in wherever they wanted to, but Thor's been kind of sidelined. Well, what plans they have for Hulk and Bruce Banner, he's been kind of an afterthought, throw him in any movie as things have gone on. There's been one Hulk movie, never been a second standalone Hulk movie. Everyone else has had others. So you've cleared these characters out now. And now you're gambling that Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Stephen Strange, and some of the new, or not new, but the characters that they're introducing into Phase 4 and bringing back, like the Fantastic Four and the Silver Surfer, Nova, Eternals, Inhumans, you're hoping that people are going to care about these characters. But you're starting to get into an area where I think DC ran into problems in. Are you telling stories in Phase 4 about characters that people care about and people can relate to? And that's what we're going to have to see going ahead with the Marvel Cinematic Universe is, how long do people stay invested? Because as I look at the Phase 4 movies, aside from Black Panther 2, Stephen Strange, Doctor Strange 2, and Guardians of the Galaxy 3, there's not a title in Phase 4 that's projected that I care about. I don't care about another Ant-Man movie. You couldn't pay me to watch another Ant-Man movie. It's boring. I'm not invested in the character. Fantastic Four, Silver Surfer, this is comic book sacrilege. I don't care. You got a Spider-Man movie, so you have Spider-Man, and most people love Spider-Man, and I'm sure that will kill. Personally, for me, I've never been a huge Spider-Man fan, but there's a lot being banked on the fact that the characters that you cleared out, that you don't need them to sell Phase 4 and that you can go on and be successful. Look, all things come to an end. Marvel made a whole ton of money. Marvel's going to continue to make a whole ton of money. Avengers Endgame has made almost $1.5 billion already in a week. It's a smashing success as a franchise. There is no way whatsoever that Marvel is going to stop making MCU movies at this point because, I mean, Captain Marvel just made about $1 billion. Everything they release is gold right now. However, I think that when you look deeper at Avengers Endgame, Marvel might have created a similar problem that Star Wars created for itself in that I'm looking at Star Wars Episode 9 and Luke is dead, Han is dead, Carrie Fisher's dead, so Leia can't be in there. You have basically killed off or removed every single character I care about and said, hey, would you like to see a movie about Ray, Finn, and Poe and old Lando who can barely move? No, I actually don't. And that's why I really don't care about Episode 9. So that's the challenge, I think, ahead of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They still have some characters that people care about, and they're banking on people being excited about a Fantastic Four movie, a Silver Surfer movie, and Spider-Man, and, you know, some of these people care about. I just wonder what's ahead after Avengers Endgame. And it was unavoidable. Eventually, you had to start telling stories that weren't about Tony Stark. You had to start telling stories that weren't about Captain America for no other reason than the actors who played both of them wanted out. So Avengers Endgame. Overall, I'm going to call it a 9.25. It loses some points in my mind for the fact that you did have to undo, in my mind, a corner you backed yourself into with overpowered Thanos and a victory so complete that the only way to undo it was to go into time travel mode. I think you lose some points for... That's about it. You lose some points for the fact that you have to go back through time travel to undo a corner that you wrote yourself into in Infinity War. And I think they handled it very well. The scene with Hawkeye and Black Widow was great. This is one of those scenes that shows you a very human moment. It shows you sacrifice. It's a fantastic movie. Fantastic movie all around. Do I think it's the best of the Marvel Cinematic Universe? No. I liked Infinity War better. I liked Thor Ragnarok better. I liked the first Avengers movie better. So I liked both Guardians of the Galaxy movies better. But I think that it's among simply the best that they've done out of all the films. It's an excellent movie. And overall, Marvel just continues to make fantastic films. And while I don't expect the quality of the films to go down, I just wonder how much buy-in is going to be left with the audience, with the mass appeal with Phase 4, or if they might be getting to a point where they've expanded this so far out into some of the more fringe characters that you're getting to the point where only the dedicated comic book fans are going to still be completely invested. And the comic book fans aren't what made the Marvel Cinematic Universe the smashing success that it is. And I know comic book fans call that a sacrilege, but what made the Marvel Cinematic Universe the smashing success that it is that it got to guys like me who haven't read a comic book in my life, but will watch these movies. All right, that's it. There'll be a full review of this with the full crew sometime in May. This is just my top of the head thoughts on Avengers Endgame. Fantastic movie, enjoyable movie. Did it cause problems for the Marvel Cinematic Universe going forward? You can send us your thoughts by email at contact@ravenlunaticmedia.com. You can leave us comments on our website at ravenlunaticmedia.com, or you can tweet at us on Twitter at Sci-Fi Malady. As always, thank you for listening. Rage Master's not here, so I'll say it for him. Stay sick, sickies. And look for the Captain Marvel review upload coming shortly.